Hey, Chief.
How's it going?
How are you?
Yeah, good.
Nice suit.
You? Thank you.
Yeah. Jane, you look fantastic.
Fabulous dresser, huh?
Yeah.
You look fantastic.
Thanks. Good jeans are a lot
of money. She does look fantastic.
What?
Any more exercise videos?
Videos? No.
Oh, man.
No, I'm through with that. Certain things you have to give up at a certain point.
Well, you must still be using your methods because of
Honey, I haven't done anything for 6 months. I just have time.
By the way, before the press conference starts, I understand that you're a big fan of Love and Mercy.
Oh, my God.
Can you share a thought or two about this film?
Well, I live with a music producer, and so I know about Brian Wilson and the fact that he is a genius. And so I really wanted to see the movie. And this one, as the younger Brian Wilson, I just found astonishing, his performance. Really special.
Did you run into Brian at all in the old days, 70s?
Not those old days, but more recently. Uh-huh. Yeah. And you've seen him, probably.
Yeah. I saw him last week.
But I like the movie, too. I liked Elizabeth Banks and John Cusack. All of them, I think. It was a really good movie. I'm giving a party in support of Paul.
She's so sweet. Oh, you're making me blush. Yeah. So isn't that so funny?
I am going to go back and see Little Miss Sunshine because I want to see you in your younger body.
Yeah. I think you'll like it.
Paul, have you met Jane prior to this film?
No, we hadn't. You'd worked with my girlfriend Zoe once.
I did
a
workshop of an Eve Ensler play with Zoe Kazan.
Yeah. And I remember Zoe coming home and talking about Jane and getting to work with Jane. And Jane is one of Zoe's favorite actors, and she's been very sweet to you, and you've been so sweet to us. But yeah, I was excited to.
And she was always excited to go home, but she never told me who was at home. So it wasn't until later that I discovered this is who she was going home to. Okay.
Is it easy to be friends with Jane?
Yeah, can't you tell?
Did you see that picture that I posted while I was so drunk? And we were both in Toronto with you and Zoe.
Picture. I love that picture.
Hi.
I cherish
How are you
that
all
picture.
Holding up?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
How you doing? She's working. This is cool.
Isn't it? It's adorable.
Check.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's very 60s. Swinging 60s.
Yeah. What does this mean?
I spoke to them a
lot. Is it solidarity?
Like my little moment of fraternity, yeah.
Très bien.
Is
that chouette, ça.
Thank you.
I don't know.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing? Good.
Brain dead, aside from that.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Press Youth Conference. My name is Roger Durling. I'm with the Santa Barbara Film Festival, and welcome all. This is quite an amazing group of people. I'm actually overwhelmed at the amount of talent in this room. I want to start right out with you.
You're so bad.
I don't even know how to address you, so Michael, can you?
No. You only address me as Michael.
Okay. Michael, this role was written by Paulo for you, and it was quite a great, gift. You know, can you tell us, the experience of receiving this role and actually working with Paulo?
But, I mean, receiving the role was an absolute surprise, because when I'd seen over the years, I'd seen everything Paolo had done, but I mean, not intentionally, I just saw these great movies. And then I saw Great Beauty, and then it won the Academy Award for the Best Foreign Film. And then my agent rang me and said, we've got a script for you from Paolo Sorrentino. And I was amazed that he'd heard of me. Because we didn't seem to be in the same sphere, you know what I mean? I didn't understand it, and then she said, "This is a script, and he's written it for you." And I went, "Oh," and I said, "Really?" And she said, "And if you don't do it, he won't do the movie." So I said, "All right, I'll do the movie," because I was completely stunned. to be offered this movie in those circumstances, you know? It was hard to believe, but it was true. Because I did the movie.
And, you know, one of the most spectacular moments in the film is that you conduct this 120-piece orchestra. You know, what was that experience like?
Well, it was 4 weeks of hard work, really, and two great conductors who taught me, who were so wonderful to me. They were absolutely fabulous, you know? And I just met Sumi Joe in the corridor there, and she told me that I was a good conductor, so I feel good.
You know, Harvey, you actually sought Paulo. You know, you were a big fan of The Great Beauty, and you actually reached out to him. You know, what was it about, you know, wanting to work with Paulo?
Well, my story was somewhat similar to Michael's. I was stunned also, not to be offered the part.
No, I said Paolo wrote it for me, and he said I wrote it for two of you, but the other one was busy.
Paolo offered it to two other actors, but I had Joe Pesci kill them both. Here I am.
And you know, you've worked with Tarantino, you've worked with Jane Campion, you've worked with Martin Scorsese. What was it about, you know, working with Paolo Sorrentino? Why?
Well, having seen his work and the themes he wrote about in Youth was just so touching and reflected the way I was thinking about my own life, the friendships I had as a youth growing up in Brooklyn, how important they were to me, to my survival growing up, and what its underlying currents of betrayal and loyalty and fear of the truth mean in developing real friendship. Paolo wrote about all these streams in the film of Youth.
Rachel, your character.
Such a beautiful answer, Harvey.
Yeah, thank you.
Such a beautiful answer. Did you sleep with Gilda Black?
I never made it.
He did it. You didn't.
He did.
You did.
But I'm forgiven it.
I will never tell.
You know, Rachel, your character is. It's the one that I actually sympathize with the most. You know, she's been living in the shadows of her famous father, and she's struggling with overcoming so many fears. She's going through this major crisis. You know, can you talk about, you know, your character and your role?
Yeah, I think her whole life is her dad, her very famous, charismatic, wonderful dad. I think my sense is she might need him more than he needs her. I don't know. Look, she's his assistant. She's very worried for him. She knows that he's in a kind of creative crisis. She knows that he's in this deep mourning for my mom, his wife. And I think she really wants him to be released again, which he is at the end of the movie. He finds a future, this great optimistic, bright future, and he can create and work again, and he's free from being a prisoner of the past. And similarly, my character too. I'm married to my dad's best friend's son. It's very incestuous, the whole thing. I mean, I sleep in the same bed as my dad, not in an incestuous way, but you know, it's still very very needy. And my character finds love and a new life, and in the form of Luca, the fabulous tall mountaineer, and she climbs up high and sees, she overcomes her fear of heights, which is a metaphor for many, 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 many things. And she sees the earth from a new perspective, which is also a metaphor for many things. So yeah, I think Harvey's character doesn't fare so well at the end. as we all know, but Michael and my character, we have a big second chance, I think, which is, we have different endings, right?
Well, and that was the part that I actually felt that was so powerful, at least for me, that, you know, the idea of overcoming fears, that what your character does is the key to you.
I agree. Sorry.
No.
I agree. Yeah, overcoming fear is, because that's what happened when you're young. You don't, when you're very young, you're not scared of anything, foolishly so. And you get older and wiser, and then you get scared of things. And it's, yeah, it's wonderful to overcome fear. That's the greatest thing.
And Paul, go ahead, Carl.
I'll just add one thing. So sorry, Paul.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel the characters don't fare well at the end. I think they fare very well because of what Paolo wrote about friendship.
Okay.
And the character that Rachel plays, somebody says something, I think I do, about the friendship is so long and good because we never talk about the bad things, only the good things. Mm. Well, the way Paolo wrote the story, it shows you what that leads to. So I think it's they do fare well in terms of the story.
What does it lead to?
To be very mindful of your own reasons for having a friendship, and to try to be as truthful a person as you can be, have the courage to be. Okay, thank you. So I see you.
Paul, your character seems, at least from my perspective, seems more worn and weary than, you know, Fred and Mick. And, you know, and the fact that he's kind of haunted by this one character that is, he's been, you know, pigeonholed.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about your journey with the character?
Yeah. You know, at first glance, I was actually really attracted to sort of the external elements of Jimmy, which is not sort of normal for me, but I was really curious what it would be like if I had a certain idea of myself and a certain sense of vanity, and if I, you know, had been somebody who was cool enough to wear sunglasses in here,
you gotta be really cool.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying now. My character is preparing for a certain role, and I was so excited that Paolo wanted me to do the film and to work with these guys that actually didn't like think about that right away, and then I sort of had an existential comeuppance with the idea that I have to dress as a certain character in the film. And it was sort of through investigating that I found what the film was about for me and for Jimmy Tree, which I think the weariness that you're talking about when you are disillusioned with something, you know, Jimmy, if he's going to keep acting, I think has to refind the youth in his own work and why he's doing it, and not be worried about what other people think or even the idea of something, what he wants it to be. And I think the scene that I have that night with Harvey is sort of about, there are parts that are, that you have something to offer to and that they have something to offer you in return, and that's like the great thing that we sometimes meet in a character, and I think by learning that Hitler was not his part, the next job that he does, I felt like is going to be a good one for Jimmy Tree.
And Ms. Fonda, your role is a 6-minute tour de force, take no prisoners. Your transformation in it. I mean, we're used to look at you right now. You're so elegant and poised, and this is not what we see with Brenda. You know. Tell us about, you know, diving into this character of Brenda.
Well, you know, like others have said too, I would have. I wanted to work with Paolo. I had seen Il Divo, I had seen Great Beauty. I was told that there was this character that would be really good for me. Another actor was cast and then dropped out. I just said, I don't care what the part is. I want to be in a movie with Paolo, because his whole process and you know, he writes it, he directs it, it comes from the deepest parts of himself. I'm not even sure he can explain in a cerebral way what he was meaning. Don't you find that he's strangely inarticulate when he tries to talk about it? And yet he knows exactly what he wants. I was working, so I got him on the phone. He got me on the phone. He said, I'm gonna send you photographs of how you wanna look. I mean, you know, and he did. The color of the hair, how the wig was gonna look, like a real wig, the way Sophia Loren's wig looks like, and how I was gonna dress, and all of that. And, you know, he had the icons of Italian hair and makeup and wardrobe there. So I just kind of like put myself in his hands, and by the time it was all done, and my face was white and my lips were dark and I had a beauty mark and the wig was on and this yellow dress, it was like, you don't have to do much work. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what I found.
And Harvey, what was it like to have that six minute, you know, pas de deux with Ms. Fonda?
Well, Jane is a diva. I mean, in the good sense, why are you making a face? Is that?
I don't see myself that way, but I'll accept it. I'll take it, man. Whatever it means.
You're a legend. You're an icon.
That's a new icon.
But more importantly, that's another scene that manifests this theme of friendship and how dangerous it can be if it's not honest, and about loyalty and betrayal, and what it can do to a person if you're not, can't find the courage to be honest with yourself, and can't be honest with another person, and you know the results of what happens in that scene. So it was a very powerful one in terms of theme in the movie.
Well, let's open it up for, yeah, go ahead.
Well, the film deals with so many different kinds of art, acting, music, writing, storytelling. Since the film deals with so many different types of art, storytelling, did making the film change any of your views on art?
On art?
Your own.
Well, by the time I was working with Paolo, I thought, well, art must be available to everybody, because I, you know, I considered Paolo such a great artist. As I said, I didn't think he would know who I was, but it was great. But there are things I learned in it. I mean, the most important sentence in it was, I'm at my doctor's, and the doctor says to me, "How do you feel about getting old?" And I say, "I don't understand how I got here." And that applies to me personally. I don't understand, you know, about 2 years ago, I was 35, and suddenly I'm 83, and I went, what the hell happened?
I think I see how art can keep a person vital, because you look at these three and how vital they are as people and artists still, and I wonder how much art has fed them and brought them to this place today, being so healthy and happy and hungry and still contributing.
Hungry being the operative word, by the way.
No, I mean giving.
Staying
look
hungry.
What you, yeah,
no.
Yeah, look what you gave to that
That's
scene.
What
you have to be
about
hungry to do that.
Is staying hungry. How can I get more? How can I learn more? How can I stay passionate, hungry? And, you know, some people lose it and phone it in, right?
Yeah.
Like Mick. I'm sorry, but...
Well, I got all my ideas about art from Jerry Lewis.
From
a skit he once did. He was playing Romeo and Juliet. Oh, we'll take it. From a skit Jerry Lewis once did, he was playing Romeo and Juliet, and he was Romeo and the actress Juliet. And she comes down on the porch, on the terrace, and says, "Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?" And Jerry Lewis says, I ought right here. That was always my idea of art.
I have a question for Michael and for Harvey. You played 60-year-old, friends of 60 years, and it was just, it was wonderful. Is there a history between the two of you? How do you know each other, and do you consider each other friends, and what is the dynamic?
Well, I consider I wanted to be like Michael when I first saw his early films. He's one of those actors that set a standard of the work for all actors. So I felt I knew him from way back, although we hadn't met.
He never told me that.
Yes, I have.
Yes, you well.
Was the dynamics of working with each other. Do you have a history?
We had a fortunate thing for a start, is that we're both ex-soldiers, mm-hmm. and that makes it for an instant bond in certain levels, you know.
I don't want to start this again, but I was a Marine.
I was in the Marines. A Marine is a soldier. That's why I said soldiers. And I was in the British Army. You just know certain things that no one else knows, and that's the end of that, you know. And that started our friendship. And he's a very nice man, and I'm a very nice man. We became friends. And he's a fabulous actor. And I'm nearly as good as he is. And so we became great friends.
There you go.
Go ahead,
Ben. Thanks. Hi. I attended the AFI screening of Youth, and afterwards there was a conversation. And in that conversation, Michael Caine and Paulo spoke about how he directed, and he said that he got everybody on set and said, okay, now work. So what with his style of direction, what was that like for you to be thrust into this movie, this amazing film, but just told to act? The camera comes on and now act. So if you'd like to, all of you, please.
Well, it was great to work with him because, like all great directors, he is not performing himself. He's just looking. Sometimes you get these directors who are not very efficient. They become directors, and they think they're supposed to do what they've seen in a movie when they're a little boy. What a director does is start shouting and bawling or something. He's like all great directors, and I've worked with several. He is very, very quiet, knows exactly what he wants, and knows exactly when he's not getting it.
He casts carefully because he's deeply sensitive. He casts some, you know, people that he knows he has a chemistry with, and that have chemistry with the person that he's written for them to play. And, you know, Fred Zinnemann rarely said anything to his actors. Hal Ashby rarely said anything to his actors. So I wasn't unused to director who never said anything. But then he would conduct us. I don't think it was just me and Harvey. You know, he'd say, ratchet it up a little more, or sotto voce. I mean, did he do that with you?
That was about it. He sometimes would say, cry, don't cry, faster, slower.
Okay.
It was very like a conductor, yeah.
I was working with John Huston, and he didn't give me any directions. So I said, John, you never give me any directions. And he said, you get paid a great deal of money to do that. You don't need me to tell you what to do. And I said to him, what's the art of directing? He said, casting.
Yeah, that's what Zinnemann thought, too.
Yeah, casting. You don't have, if you cast it right, you don't have to say anything.
Well, Harvey, I heard you do an interview that he allowed you to improvise, you know, the part, some of the scenes.
Not really in the scene itself, but, there were moments he did that, but mostly in rehearsal. He allowed me to improvise with him and the other actors, I'm not sure now, but in order for me to find my way into the part. And there was one moment I might have improvised some things, and Jane helped me in one thing we did. So there was a little bit of that, but his writing is so
precise,
and vulnerable that it was easy to come to it.
I never ad-libbed anything. I just did the words, you know, and I went, you're lucky to get away with that.
You did, actually.
Did we?
Yeah, there was one scene when I'm in the background and you're talking to the Queen's emissary, and I was trying not to cry, but I was getting upset because you were talking about my dead mom, your ex-wife, and I was sort of sniveling as quietly as I could, and you had your back to me, and you just went, Lena? And I said, yes? And you went, stop crying. That wasn't into it. But Michael's so in the moment, he doesn't, there's no difference between him acting and not acting, I don't think.
And Rachel, I was trying watching a film that you and your father share, you know, you're sharing the same bedroom, you're, you know, sleeping, you know, with each other in a very, you know, tender, intimate way, you know, can you talk a little bit about that?
We never really analyzed it. We didn't ever analyze anything.
I didn't dare analyze. I just kept over my side to play. She kept over her side. You know, I've got two daughters, we never slept together either. Beyond the pale for me.
It's very bohemian, isn't it? I guess it must have begun after his wife, my mum, died. I would imagine that's when it started. I think it was...
When she was little, she slept with her dad when her mum died, that's what you imagine.
Yeah, I think.
The maestro just walked in, by the way.
Your ears must have been ringing. All of them praising your work.
Yeah, we just said how great you were.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's been lost in translation. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, because this is set in a kind of a cool environment, both physically and it feels like the color palette and everything just feels very cold. And, you know, here these people are supposed to be on a health retreat. And to me, it seemed very sterile, almost like a hospital. So I'm wondering for each of you, what is your ideal place to kind of get away? Like, what kind of environment do you go to like relax and kind of, you know, do the spa thing and be, you know, comfortable? I mean, maybe you like the cold, but to me, it just seemed cold.
I go to the sunshine, always. In the manner where we came, I played a guy called Peachy, and someone said, I had to send a message, and it said, just tell him Peachy's gone south for the winter. That sums me up. I hate the cold, and I don't want to go skiing. You know, everybody I do go skiing, they've sort of got their arm in a sling. I say, why don't you go skiing? You know, could you fall off?
What about you?
I love weather.
Do you have any special, like,
I just want to be able to be relaxed enough to answer questions like Harvey. But I think for me, not having a schedule, like suddenly having a couple of hours without anything to do and just going on a walk, even around Manhattan where I live, and just people watching, that I find very relaxing. But the place in Switzerland, there are places like that. They are spas with doctors, so there are people with clinical expertise that are like, you know, looking at your stool. I just had to say that. Sorry.
I feel, you know, I'm fortunate to get to travel for work, so I think actually home is, you know, where I want to be.
Oh, I don't know. I think I kind of am at my best at 14,000 feet. So, you know, that would be ideal for me.
What, is that an airplane?
No, top of a mountain.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, of course, yeah. Really?
Yeah, I like climbing mountains.
Do you?
I like it to be so high that the air is thin. Mm-hmm. Some people get sick. I become my better self.
Really?
Don't know
and so speaking of altitude, Jane, what was it like shooting that incredibly dramatic scene in the plane where you've lost it all?
The daughter of my manager, who saw the film with me in Rome early on, thought that Brenda was having a baby. I don't know what I did wrong, but you know. I know it was weird. It was strange. You know, that's where technique comes in. You just kind of like, we had a very limited amount of time and you just had to kind of turn it on and get us terrible. It's not the most fun kind of work to do, right? I'd much rather have interactions than being hysterical. And I was worried that people wouldn't know what I was being hysterical about. And then we had to put in words that I recorded here and said over there so that they'd know that it was because of Mick. Because it
first. Any questions? Yeah, go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations to all of you on this. Just such superb, profound work. If we can go down the line, I would be curious to hear if each of you have your own version of, you know, the simple songs from Mr. Q, something that people will always talk to you about, but you would rather talk about something else you've done.
You mean a song?
People always talk to Maestro about simple songs and there are other pieces he's, you know,
yeah,
created the people, you know, that he would rather talk about. Do you have your own thing that fans always ask you about, and what movie would you rather talk about that you've done?
I don't like people to bring up flop films that you've made, you know, because it's sort of unkind. You didn't know they were a flop when you were going in, you know? And so they don't give you a chance of failure. You've got to be a success every time. And so that's why they're talking to you and you're not talking to them.
My turn.
Yes, please.
I surrender. Can I say this? I don't like when people ask me about any film I've done, because I feel the film speaks stronger than I can speak for the film, because the work, the pleasure is in the work, creating the work. One little moment, and you know you found the truth of that moment, is enough satisfaction for me, and especially in youth. I mean, if it was a Dostoevsky novel and you said to me, well, what's it about? I'd say, read it. Yeah. So when you asked me about that, I would say, watch youth. It can tell you all about everything, but I think you would have questions about.
Richard.
I could shorten that up, by the way. But
Richard,
Richard,
you're up.
I just love what these guys just said. I mean, I agree with Michael that I think failure is incredibly important for everyone in whatever they do. So I guess you got to cherish your failures and not feel that you're going to be attacked for them. And I also agree with Harvey. So wise, you guys. That work should speak for itself. I don't know. It's also nice to have. There's not something that people come up to me and talk about that I wish that they hadn't. The thing that people most talk to me about is The Mummy. And I'm very proud of that film. I love it. So I'm happy to chat about it. So yeah, but yeah, failure is important.
I think when I was a little younger, I probably felt self-conscious about things. Now I sort of embrace anything, you know. Like I remember doing this movie called The Girl Next Door when I was younger, and I was very self-conscious about it for a while because I wanted to be an actor, you know. And you just sort of felt like it's so easy to sort of get typecast and this and that. And now I love when people come up to me and they're like, you know, we watched that in my college dorm room and it's fucking awesome. And so I think it's definitely a lot more fun to just embrace it than to let it be something that hangs over you.
Yeah, hear, hear. I agree. I don't care what anybody asks me. It's up to me whether I want to answer it or not, but you know, bring it on.
Sometimes when people ask me what it's about, I say it's about 50 minutes.
Can I just add one more thing? I don't want to be, I didn't explain it well enough. I don't want to be misunderstood. What I meant is I like talking to people about the story. I just don't like being put on the spot to say what the film is about. Our pleasure is in creating the story, so we can talk about it. That's the reason to go to the theater, so we can discuss those obstacles and those problems. So I just don't want to be a misunderstood.
Well, and you should all be very proud of the work you've done in this film. Thank you so much for it.